Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and as always, I am joined by my co-host,
Rebecca.
And today we're talking about Survivor 46, episode 12. That's right, the penultimate episode. And Rebecca.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about the episode. Duh. What else are we doing here? I do have some...
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, shocker. I know. What? On the Survivor podcast? We're going to talk about very briefly a very strong rumor. And by very strong, I mean basically confirmed that Australian Survivor for the 10th season is going to do a U.S. versus Australian season. And I don't just mean U.S. residents. I mean U.S. Survivor players versus Australian players. So an all returning season, I assume. Now, the rumor is that it's going to be a shortened season for by Australian standards. So maybe 39 days. They have not confirmed nor denied how many. Normally, they do about 55. 52.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Australian Survivor, crazy. With their less budget and less audience members to watch the show, somehow can figure out how to do twice the season of US Survivor. I'm going to be honest,
that's so on brand for Australia. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, that's crazy.
They'll go to the Australian Outback. They go to different locations. Now, I'm not a bit, I like Australian Survivor. I'm not like the one of those people who's gonna be like, have you watched Australian Survivor? It's better. That's not me. You'll never hear that come out of my mouth. I think it's a good show. I don't think it's superior. But I do think they do some things right, like going to different locations and longer days or more days. Mm-hmm. But regardless, is that shortened season. And they said, and the rumor is that they'll only do it if they can get, I think if I was interpreting, I'd say worthwhile returnees. Because I'm sure they can pull 10 returnees out of their butt or however many, 12 returnees of U.S. players. But it's like, can they get worthwhile returnees, you know? So Sandra and Russell have already played on Australian Survivor, so I assume they're not coming back to play again. They've already played. So if you had to pick somebody, who would you pick to that you want to see play again?
Ooh, yeah. That's really interesting. I'm going to say, I think maybe you've asked me a similar question at some point, and I think I had the same answer. I would say Aubrey. I would love to see her come back and play. And win. I know.
Big mistake.
If I ever get on Survivor and anyone listens to this podcast and sees me out there on the island, for the record, Aubrey is not, I don't know. My favorite player
is. That was
a
random hat you pulled out of a hat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's not. She means nothing to you.
Off the record. Aubrey is one of my favorite players. So I would love to see her come back.
Absolutely. I understand. And I will say that. Also, big mistake being the fifth person this season to not play their idol, Q. I was going to bring up Aubrey, bring up Q, you know. Five people this season have not played. That is the record for idols and for people. They already set the record for people last episode, but now they set the record for idols and people with five each.
So crazy.
If I personally, US-wise, I'm a little bit afraid that Survivor 50 is going to be just new era returnees, and we're not going to get anybody from pre-40. So in that case, I would love Christian Hubicki to be on Australian Survivor. You know, also you get his analysis, like his very nerdy analysis of the differences between the, you know, like you it's a perfect situation for somebody who's very analytical, but also very talkative and with his personality into a situation. But I mean, you know, that's just one person. There's so many people I'd be down for. I don't want to see, and what I'm afraid will happen, I don't want to see them just put like Suri and Parvati in.
Because
I just feel like they've been overexposed lately. I mean, I guess overexposed. Parvati only played on the Traitors and then Survivor 5 years ago. It's just, I feel like there's so many people I'd rather see again. And I feel like I've seen everything I have out of Suri. I don't think Suri has a chance of winning anything anymore. I think she's, once she won the Traitors and won Snake in the Grass, it's over. Like, she could not win Big Brother. She needs to win challenges. She can't win challenges. Australian Survivor is heavy on challenges. So ideally, they'll pull in some younger returnees, some newer returnees. I'm down for a legend or two, don't get me wrong, but there's just some of these people have already played American Survivor and other shows now, like four or five times. It's like, all right, there's got to be some people who've only played two or three. Like, if they put Rupert on Australian Survivor, fine. He has not been on, he has not been Survivor or anything related to it since 2013. Like, that is a gap.
Oh, wow,
But he did recently have, I think, throat cancer, so it's probably not likely.
Ooh, Yeah, I think you're so right. Like, there's certain players like Parvati, because that is my instinct, because I love Parvati. But like, I think you get to a point where you're like, the legend becomes so big that you can't, like, it becomes a handicap in some ways. Yes. And I guess, I mean, I'm assuming people on Australian Survivor watch US Survivor. I guess I don't know, but
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would assume so. But yeah, also like from newer seasons, like I would love to see like some Lulu people play, like Emily or Caleb even mm-hmm. would be like really fun. Yeah, I don't know. I just really like
Emily openly stated like, she was not playing Survivor again, though people have said that changed yeah. their mind.
And that's a fair, like, if she wants to stick with that, that's fine. But I just feel like she had so much growth in her season and like it would be cool to like see how that plays from day one at this point. But
somebody who I think would be an excellent pull that hasn't played in forever, Amanda Kimmel.
Ooh.
Three-time yeah. player. Haven't seen her since 20. She hasn't played Survivor since 09, though the season aired in 2010. My point mm-hmm. is that would be a pull of like, wow, there's a legend, but we also haven't seen in a while. And therefore, I don't think her target would be that big, even though she's been to the end twice. It was so long yeah. ago, people even care. But
well, and because she be never impressive. Won, too. Like, she I think that won. That would, you know, make her a smaller target for well, sure.
And just the fact that she's not Bhaskara Parvati, Tony Vlachos.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. If they put Tony Vlachos on Australian Survivor, excellent choice. He's going to go early, mm-hmm. but excellent choice. Like, I get it. I get why they'd put somebody like that. That is a marketing move. Mm-hmm. We talk about marketing merge. To get that views back up.
Yeah.
That was a marketing move, put Tony on Australian Survivor. It would be an excellent choice, but I would love to see somebody like an Amanda Kimmel pulled, who's like, ooh, we haven't seen her in forever. Let's see what she can do now, 15 years later, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I would love to hear what you guys have in the comments. I want to hear legends that we haven't thought about in a while or haven't seen in a while, who they would pull to come back. I'd pass around Parvati, Sandra, even, I don't know, even Tony. It's like, yeah, we've... I don't know. It just feels like it's so recent.
Yeah.
I guess Tony technically played like 5 years ago. Still, it just feels recent, doesn't it? Is it just me?
It does. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, if they pull Tony out, I'm going to watch. Don't get me wrong. So I get why they would do it. Just Boston or Party Sandra, tired. I'm tired. And Sri, yeah. tired. I'm tired. I've seen them enough lately. Give them a break. Boston Rob literally just finished on a show and said, I think he said he'd play Traitors next, which I'm down for. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just don't want to see like Survivor. I want to see survivors who I haven't seen in a bit who are also legends. So anyways, all right, let's move on to this season of Survivor, which is not legends, but it has some legendary failures, such as Q not playing. I mean, we're talking about four people in a row that everyone knew. Sorry, everyone did not know Q had an idol, but Q knew the last three people had an idol and they didn't play it. And he's still.
Yeah. And here's the thing that, like, I just don't get what it is about this season specifically where everyone is just, like, so worried about, like, the next tribal. Like, Q said, as soon as he found the idol, he was like, oh, cool. Like, I've made it to the finale because, like, I don't have to play this tonight and then I can just play it next time. And it's like, Q, play it tonight. What, like, what is the harm in just playing it tonight so you get to tomorrow?
He knows he's a target. He knows he's a target.
Exactly. And if he would have played it, like, Charlie would have gone home. Like, that would have been a crazy move, even if it was unintentional, you know?
That would have been an amazing move, though it would have definitely... If Charlie went out tonight, everyone and their mother would know Kenzie's winning next week.
Yeah.
Everybody would. Yep. Oh, also, I understand the title of the podcast says, and potential winner analysis. While we are going to talk about it during the podcast, just heads up for everybody, I mean, record knows this, we're not ranking anybody tonight. We're doing that tomorrow with Mary. And we're ranking all the new era seasons tomorrow based on what we think, how we think the season will end. And then, of course, during the off season will be the updated annual winner rankings and season rankings. So we haven't done one of those since after 44. So the 44 and 43 recency bias should wear off a bit because 44, I thought, got a lot of love and 43 got a lot more hate than I think they actually deserve. And we'll see that. But then again, then now 45 and 46 will get extra love or hate, depending on how people feel about it. Then they really should. So we'll see how the updated ranking. It's always recency bias with those rankings, but all right. So we start the episode and Q says, from Earth, you can see Venus, but Venus ain't at our camp anymore, so you can't see her. And I was like, that's really good.
Yeah.
Q has to come back for 50. Q has to be a lock. Just a Q apologize for even mentioning quitting. Okay. Just like beg on your hands and knees to Jeff. Send Jeff a cameo, whatever they're called.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and apologize because you need to come back for Survivor 50. It's no joke.
Yeah, just get them to go back and edit out him, like, the moments that he threatened to quit.
Yeah.
So it's not on, like, streaming platforms anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And anybody who has a recording of it, like, I need the show to...
Yeah. That's clearly been doctored evidence. Send, like, yes, it's not, that's not, that's not verified. That wasn't me. I don't know.
FBI, open up. They bust down your door and re-edit the footage on your computer, or they delete it.
No, I like that better. They don't delete it. They just, like, they have a very specific, like, edit, and they, like, re-render it, and that's, yeah, the only version you get.
They replace the video on the stream service, and then they, anyone who has it downloaded, goes and replaces it on their computer or phone or whatever. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But I downloaded it offline through the Paramount Plus app. Ah, not anymore. You didn't.
Nope. Nope.
We're rewriting that episode.
That is official government property.
Yep. Any YouTube video that contains that clip is gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes like a Mandela effect. Like, oh, didn't, yes, that happen? I swear it did. No, it didn't. The government said it didn't. All right. So. Ben says he drew a blank and voted Kenzie, and Kenzie's like, "What? What is he talking about? Like, how do you, yeah, how does one draw a blank and then vote?" It'd be one thing if Ben drew a blank and voted Jeff. You know, that guy, he could pass off as stupid, but he voted, yeah, another person. So, well, I believe him, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but like, is that, yeah, what your heart really wants, is to vote off Kenzie? Is that what that means?
That was my same reaction. Was like, I think that he was being genuine. Like, he actually just forgot the plan, or he just, like, forgot who he was supposed to write down.
He zoned,
like, I don't
out.
Think it was, yeah, I don't think it was that he forgot, like, Venus's name necessarily, but he just forgot who they were voting for. But that is a crazy thing, and I am, like, kind of surprised that Kenzie wasn't more, like, upset by that. Like, they are very close, and she took it really well, because I think he was telling the truth, but I don't know if I would believe him.
I think she realizes, what Ben, I don't know. I think their friendship is part of it, because if they weren't friends, she, mm-hmm, would have taken it personal.
Yeah.
But I think because they're friends.
But I'm also like, maybe this is just me. Maybe this speaks more to my character. But I'm like, if I'm out on the island and, like, it doesn't matter how close I think I am with someone, if they vote for me, I'm like, okay, like, I don't think that anyone out there, like, regardless of how close we are as friends, I don't think that that means that they're not going to vote me out. I, yeah, mean, we kind of saw that a little bit with Maria and Charlie tonight. That's just part of the game. Like, you have to vote people out when it's good for your game. So maybe she just saw that it wasn't really, like, good for Ben's game to vote for her at that moment. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad it wasn't more of a rift, because, yeah, I think you're right. I think they're, like, the bond that they have with his panic attacks and everything also really played into that. Because it does seem like he's kind of struggling, so I think she sees that.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I think it's okay to say this now. The Next Zone Survivor, I believe, spoiled Ben being in the final three, because, mm-hmm, there is a very specific shot. If you go back and watch it, those who are wondering what I'm talking about, watch Next Zone Survivor, and Ben's sitting on, like, the edge of a hill pretending to play drums. That kind of shot is clearly set up. It's not just Ben living his life at camp. He was told to sit there, and they don't do that for the final five, from my recollection. All the New Era seasons so far, and even before that, I believe they just do final three shots like that, where it's like, sit in the spot while the camera kind of spins around you. And Ben's like, oh, I'm a musician, I'll pretend to play drums. Whereas everyone else just kind of, like, strokes their beard or looks, you know, off in the distance. Ben's playing drums off in the distance. So I believe Ben is final three, is what I'm trying to say. So adjust, yeah, accordingly on your... If you listened to me last week and this week, you jumped up a bunch in the fantasy rankings, because, mm-hmm, I told you Venus and Q at the rate we were going. And now I'm guessing Maria, because I think Maria voting for Charlie, I mean, she was already, yeah, target number one, but now she's
unless she wins immunity next
which she could.
But yeah, I think she's going to be in trouble potentially next week.
Yeah. She is one immunity shy, and I'm kind of rooting for her to get it, mm-hmm, getting four and making what I call the challenge, like, your challenge beast. You win, mm-hmm, four individual immunities, your challenge beast, and nobody else can, mm-hmm, accomplish that this season. I think as of now, maybe Charlie, he'd have to win the last two because he's already, mm-hmm, won two. I don't know. Anyways, point being is I think Marie's in the best position to do it. So we'll see. As I said, though, yeah, Ben is final three based on that shot. Like, that shot, mm-hmm, is a spoiler.
Yeah. And I do also think someone said this earlier this season, but I think Liz goes out in
no.
the fire making challenge.
No.
I could be wrong, but like someone pointed out, they're doing the same thing with her that they did with Carson, where they're doing like a lot of shots with her, like,
dare they,
glasses, you know, in the fire. I know. Sorry. I know we're not supposed to do any Liz slander on this podcast.
Yes.
But like she brought it up again tonight in Tribal. She was like, I'm really bad at making fire. So like, I don't know.
I'm letting everybody know now. I'm throwing a Hail Mary and I'm messaging Liz directly this week in hopes that we have an ad next week of Liz's business, which I still don't fully understand. But if you hear the ad read next week, I'm not sure what terms and conditions I'll have to agree to do it. That's why I'm saying on this podcast with a heads up. Just know it's from the bottom of my heart that I want to do it. For the love of the meme, for the love of the joke.
Yes.
Because Liz is so entertaining and I really want to, and I think it'll be funny. So I'm Hail Marying, I'm throwing a pass because I saw Q did an ad read on the Dead Meat podcast on the Dead Meat YouTube channel. So I'm like, if Q can do it mid-season, why can't Liz? If Liz wants to send a video, that's even better. I mean, I will encourage that. That would be amazing.
That would be so incredible.
That would be even better than me doing the ad read. But I will do the ad read. And I will promote this thing that I do not fully understand. And if it's a pyramid scheme, just like, you know, be smart.
Yeah, right. I think it's honestly funnier if it like if Liz does get back to you and she's like, you know, yes, you can do an ad read, but like she doesn't explain the business at all. Like, even if she offers, I think you should not let her explain the business. You just kind of like go off on like what you think it kind of is, but like really it's very clear that you don't know what it is.
No. I want to be legit. I want to treat it like a real ad read, but then when people ask how much we got paid, legally we cannot answer that question.
Yes, correct.
Legally, people don't ask that question, all right? Legally cannot answer. So anyways, Kenzie says either way, whether Ben voted for her on purpose or on accident, it's dumb. I don't know if she said he's dumb, but she said it's dumb. Which, said, again, is the voice of the people.
She is. And I love this quote. She said, either you're telling a really dumb lie or a really dumb truth.
Either way, it's dumb. Yeah.
Iconic.
That's the point. So Ben's final three, Ben is not winning.
Yeah. And
Ben's not winning. So I'm really hoping the final three is Kenzie versus Charlie. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want Liz to win. That'd be hilarious. Like, don't get me wrong. That would be hilarious.
Here's the thing, though.
I feel
like
we're being set up for Kenzie versus Charlie.
Yes, I could see that happening. Also, do you think, like, will Liz even, like, where would she put the $1 million? You know what I mean? Because, like, her house is already so full of gold that, like, I don't think.
Well, does her daughter have, she probably does have, like, 15 college funds, just in case.
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't know. I mean, is Liz charitable? Is that, she's a cynical grandma, apparently. Is she charitable?
She could be. Yeah, she seems like the charitable type.
She's like, maybe, like Gabler, I'm giving this $1 million away.
I'm giving it to Applebee's.
I'm giving it to Applebee's.
Everyone's like, they don't need, it's not a charity.
This last week, Rebecca, Applebee's announced they're shutting down 35 of the restaurants. So actually.
They are? Oh my goodness.
As some of our commenters say, well, actually, Applebee's could use $1 million, Rebecca.
Okay, I take it back. I stand corrected. Yeah, everybody donate to your local Applebee's.
Yeah. Don't even eat there. Just donate.
Don't accept food.
Maria is so mad that Venus slandered her, as if Venus's opinion means anything. But she's so mad. That's why how I'd be feeling out there. I'm like Venus's opinion means anything. Maria's mad and basically gets therapy from Liz, which I thought was an interesting choice of person to get therapy from out of everybody out there. Because Kenzie's been shown to be a therapist for Ben. In a way. But yeah, Liz is the therapist for Maria. So Maria says she is the big target. And I am paraphrasing, I believe. And she says not getting her out is dumb. And I really think that knocking her out is going to be like a bit is like keeps being set up. That's going to be a big notch on your belt for the jury. And the way Charlie's been talking about so much, but he hasn't really had a chance, I guess. And it's like, is he going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
is she gonna go on fire?
I mean, I think the move of like knocking out Q is definitely like it's a good step in that direction because you're right. I mean, he just hasn't had the opportunity for a while, but it like voting Q out was like a betrayal in a sense.
Yeah.
Like even though he told her, I think like that kind of severed their tie. And I mean the fact that she voted for him.
Yes, but they both target each other. So it wasn't
but he won. Like, he was so clearly in control of tonight's vote. Like, it was interesting that they just showed everyone's vote as they were voting because it was so obvious that, like, Charlie was just in control and, like, everyone was going to vote the way that he wanted them to.
See, I interpreted it differently. I interpreted them showing everybody's vote because they've done this a couple times before as Q needs to play his idol. And then when Q doesn't play it, you're like, what are you doing? That was really how that read to me versus Charlie has this in the bag. It was, to me, it read more of, can you believe this is the fifth person this season not to play? At least Jem made sense why she didn't play it. Like, I get Jem. The other four, I do not get.
Right. Yeah, I think I think tonight it was both for sure. But, like, yeah, there was definitely part of it that was just like, yeah, they can just show it. Because we knew before Tribal, like, I knew how everyone was going to vote. And, like, sometimes you go into Tribal and you think, like, oh, I know how everyone's going to vote. And then they vote differently. And you're like, why did they vote differently? Well, because something was left out, you know, of the edit on purpose so that we, like, keeps us guessing. But tonight it didn't feel like that. It felt like the edit was just very clear on, like, okay, this is how everyone's voting. This is what Q thinks is happening, but that's not what's happening. This is what Maria thinks is happening, but that's not what's happening. And then we just saw it play out exactly how we thought it was going to. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it was both, though, because it was also definitely like Q should have played his idol tonight.
This is weirdly on track for us to actually be talking about Survivor and not be going off on tangents. So, quick tangent. I believe an amazing returnee, I just thought about this, for Australian Survivor versus U.S. Survivor would be Fabio. That would be hilarious.
That would be really great.
Put Fabio in Australia, or I'm sorry, I'm sure they don't film in Australia. They only did that for COVID. Put Fabio on Australian Survivor and have him be like, whoa, dude, I can't say any of their accents, man. Whoa, this is trippy, dude.
You know, that would be pretty funny. As much as, like, I don't know, Fabio, I don't think was like as entertaining to me as he was for a lot of people. Like, that would be really funny, though. I could get on board with that.
Well, he would just be one of the 12, because I think Australian Survivor does 24 people cast, though they might do less with a shortened season. I don't know. But I mean, he'd be one of like 12 Americans, one of 11 Americans. Like, he is not your marketing person. Don't get me wrong. He's not the person you're going to sell people. But he's one of those people. It's like, I think we get some fun moments out of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely fair.
Yeah. Anyways, I feel like Fabio would be like, again, like somebody we have not seen play a second time, but he won and he's a goofball. And now he's older but I feel like his personality is just naturally goofy. So no matter how much older he is, he's still Fabio.
So, right.
Anyways, I just thought about that right now, but I was trying to think of legends that we hadn't seen in a while, I think. All right. So Ben is struggling with sleep still. And again, we hear from Kenzie about how this affects her and how she's helping him through this. And if I didn't know Ben was in the final three based on that shot, I would say, oh, here's a locked vote, Ben for Kenzie. But maybe it's actually Ben helps Kenzie get to the final three. I don't know. I mean, there's a crucial move.
Think even if Ben isn't on the jury, I think this is showing, like, this is, it's an example of, like, how caring Kenzie is with everyone, even though they're like competing against each other. Cause
which we saw in Yanu as well, her caring for others.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And she said something about tonight about, like, I don't care that he wrote my name down. I'm still going to hold his hand, you know, through his panic. Like, I'm not going to let him go through these panic attacks alone. You know, like, that's my friend, even though he wrote my name down. So I feel like that sort of thing, like, whether it's, you know, Ben ends up on the jury or if it's just like the jury sees that in Kenzie, because I'm sure she's doing these sorts of things for other people too. But, like, this is a big example that we're able to see, you know, on camera. I don't know if it's necessarily that Ben ends up on the jury, but either way, I see this as being really good for Kenzie with, like, jury management.
Question, Rebecca, you're on Survivor. There's a guy who is having panic attacks. Would you hold his hand even if he voted for you?
I mean, honestly, I think I would like to say that I would, because I like to think that I'm a good, caring person. It honestly, like, yeah, it might depend if there was, like, someone else there who was, because, like, if there's no one, if, like, no one is helping him through it, then yeah, like, I'm going to go over and, like, make sure he's okay, you know, for sure.
Yeah. But you're, like, saying, like, if you're the best available person, you do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Or even like, it also depends on like, okay, is that my enemy? Is that my friend in the game? Like, it, there's a lot of context that depends on like who that is. But I think even if it was like my enemy, if there's no one else comforting him,
sure,
then I would.
And there's like cameras there and stuff. And you, so anyways, yeah, let's change the situation a little bit. Let's say you're on an island. There's no cameras. There's no one else but a guy with a ripped six-pack abs. And he's like, man, if only my hand was held, I'd feel better. Would you hold his hand, Rebecca?
Honestly, probably not, because that's a pretty cheesy line. Like, he'd have to come up with something better than that.
Rebecca,
you know?
You're in a life or death situation on an island. And you're like,
oh, wait, what's the life or death? I thought I was on vacation.
No, dude, you and this guy are abandoned on an island. There's no cameras and nobody else is there. Oh,
okay. Well, in that case, yes, absolutely. Okay. I thought I was like, on a resort.
I see the issue. I'm like, Rebecca's in a life or death situation with some super smoking hot guy. Wants to hold her, and she's like, that's a bit cheesy, actually. Like, bringing in the high standards in this situation.
You know what? That's actually really funny. I take it back. I think maybe I wouldn't, just for the meme. One last meme.
You're like, my life's not going to end like a romantic comedy, hot guy. You have to earn this.
He's like, there's no one here to see this meme. I'm literally sobbing. I'm like, nope, it's for the meme. It's for the meme.
I told Wesley I would do this. He's like, who's Wesley? I'm like,
yeah. We've known each other for like 12 hours. Our plane just crash landed.
Yes. He's just already trying to hold your hand on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Anyways, so Liz finally took a poop.
Yeah.
This is important.
Why are we talking so much about poop on this show?
Because when you poop, it's an exciting time.
I guess. Yeah.
She needed room for the Chinese.
That's fair.
The Chinese food, to be clear, I said. All right. Charlie explains how he has two options at this point, because I want to point out this is the difference. This is why I want Kenzie versus Charlie at the end. That's why I'm hoping for, because we already know Ben's final three. I'm hoping for Kenzie versus Charlie because Kenzie's got a lot of personal content and there's some strategy. Charlie's got a lot of strategy. And to me, I know people are going to disagree with 20 examples, not as much personal content, though they did literally get their backstories back to back. Back to back.
That was such a funny like move by the show, because I feel like we've talked about this a lot, but like Charlie and Kenzie are the two clear front runners, and they have been for a while.
The show knows
it. And so
it.
The fact that like, yeah, it's the show clearly knows it. And I just love that they did their like sob stories back to back, because that's one thing that we look for is like, oh, do they have a sob story? Because usually the winner does. And so, yeah, doing them back to back was just so funny. I was like, man, there wasn't like 10 seconds that there was like any advantage for one of them in terms of like who's going to win.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I will say I have not listened to Rob Has a Podcast in a little while. So maybe people who listen to that can let me know. I know on there they don't typically talk about winner edits. It's kind of like taboo. And maybe things have changed. It's been, as I said, it's been a little while, so I've listened. I want to say that because they're the most popular Survivor podcast. So I want to say, like, I wonder what other podcasts or people talk about Survivor Weekly are bringing up the sob story being an important part, because it definitely felt like a purposeful decision to have it happen and have it happen back to back. They knew we were waiting on it. They knew it. So I'm wondering if there's anyone else out there who's talking about how important it is, because I read, like, the edit bay on InsideSurvivor.com, and it's not really like that hard of it. And they don't really like, they're not like, oh, we're still waiting for a backstory. Like, you and I are sitting here saying we're waiting for a backstory. Like, when is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, Charlie and Kenzie need a backstory. People try to tell me Charlie got one episode one. I'm like, no, he didn't. I'm like, where is his backstory? Q never got one, by the way.
The Taylor Swift, when he got one.
The final five has all gotten one now. That's, everyone now has one. That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for everybody to get one. I was like, it could happen in the finale. The only time I can think of that happening was Xander in 41. But like, that's not a good example.
Yeah.
He didn't win. So I was sitting there waiting for it. So yeah, we finally got it. Everybody in the final five has a sad backstory with pictures. That was the important part.
Yes.
So, I mean, Liz is all about Applebee's.
And her daughter.
Yeah.
And growing up poor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But mostly about Applebee's.
Was poor, question mark, now a merchant and eating Applebee's. That was
and
her
And eating
backstory.
Applebee's all day, every day.
Whole every week I mean Applebee's, baby. So anyways, I guess my point is that it feels like Charlie's content is more from a game perspective and Kenzie's feels like they're purposely taking time out of their day to focus more on personal stuff. So we'll see what the jury respects at the end of the day, because I really want them to face off. I am down for, I guess, Maria and Liz having to go in one way or the other for us to get those two at the end, because I don't want Charlie or Kenzie going before them, because I really do want to see them face off. I really think that would be our best. And I hope the show is doing this for the reason of building them up to face off and not like, oh, Charlie or Kenzie needs to go and then it's going to be a clear runaway winner in the final three. I really want an actual face off. So
yeah,
that would be a good ending to the season. But anyway,
I agree.
We got the reward challenge, Rebecca. Can you tell everyone what it is?
Yes, absolutely. So for the reward challenge, there's a few obstacles. So first, everyone has to race through a high step obstacle, which looked exhausting, especially with the amount of like sleep and food that they're running on. So you have to race through a high step obstacle. And then at the end, untie a ball, which is like hooked around a rope. And so then you have to work that ball through a ladder bridge with like the rope is like tied around the ladder bridge. So you have to like work the ball through as you go. And then at the end, you have to untie a giant rope to free the ball and then go under an obstacle. And then at the very end, there's the puzzle that we've seen before where it's like a maze and you have to like navigate the ball through the maze and get it to land in the center. And and so the winner was Charlie, and the reward was going to the sanctuary with Chinese takeout, as we mentioned, but also letters from home. And I did like that Jeff told Charlie that the letters were a factor before he like picked the people to go with him, because that does make it like, I don't know, I think Charlie was going to pick the same people regardless, but it does just like put more pressure on him, I guess, to make that decision. So he chose Liz first, of course, because after last week, like you have to choose Liz. Like it'd be crazy not to.
I was hoping she was going to win reward again to not take her.
That would have been hilarious. And I would have fully supported that. That would have been really funny.
Things like this are things that we cannot say next week if we get sponsored by Liz. But this week we can say it.
Right. Yeah, this week it's our full uncensored opinion.
Next week we have to run everything past our lawyer first.
Yes. Plus like it was good that Q didn't win this week because he had to go find an idol, which he clearly put to good use. So that was good. Hey, a good use of his time.
I am glad there was another idol and people. The fact also, I want to point out, Charlie said, I doubt there's another idol out there, only for Q to find it.
Yes.
They made a point to undercut Charlie on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I'm curious because it would be insane to put another idol out on the island at this point.
Please.
But that idol did say it could be played up to final five.
Yes.
So technically, if I'm a producer on the show at this point, I feel like you have to put it back out there just for the memes, if nothing
technically,
else.
There should be two idols out there because Hunter, his idol and the Tiffany idol, I believe these are the two idols, both didn't get played. There should be two idols out there. Now, I don't think there should be two idols at final five necessarily. Top of my head, that would mean what? There's only two people to vote between. I mean, I guess that's fine. I guess that's fine, but it's not like there's only one option, which is terrible, which they did. Oh my gosh. Anyways. It's fine to have two options. I guess there's, but I'm saying that they should hold steady to the rules. Like, why was it Hunter's idol didn't get rehidden, but Tiffany's did, you know? When is the rule been? There's like only one idol hidden out there at a time. Like I don't know. The rules just fluctuate. So, yes, there should definitely be an idol out there next week. Somebody should find it. And they're going to play it, Rebecca. And I say this because it's the only time to play it, which is everybody's been waiting until Final Five to play it. So, you watch Charlie or Kenzie find it. And of course, they play it. Duh.
Yeah. Or someone like, I don't know, like Maria finds it and she's like, well, what if I have a souvenir to bring back to my boys? And then she gets voted out.
Yeah.
That would be
amazing.
Unhinged.
Liz is like, I mean, I have an idol in my jar of rice. I didn't tell anyone about flashback 10 days ago.
That would be so incredible. Oh my goodness. I would love that so much.
Liz, like, I've been sitting on this idol for a week now that I found in my jar of rice that I got by myself.
That would be so funny. I would love that so much.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. She's like, I'm a little bit ticked that there was less rice in my jar because the idol was in there. It was taking up room, but.
Oh, man.
Rebecca, I have to ask, Chinese takeout or the pizza they had last week?
I'm a pizza girly myself. Like, I always love a good pizza. So that's my inclination. But
I've only heard negative things about the Fiji pizza, though.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I've heard nothing good about the pizza out there in Fiji. So I think only because of my knowledge, I would pick Chinese takeout. However, yeah, comma, if it was anywhere else, I'd pick pizza. I'm with you. I'd pick pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I feel like pizza is like pretty consistent for the most part. Like there's certainly like there's better pizza and there's worse pizza. But even the worst pizza is like, it's fine, generally speaking.
I heard that they use like the wrong sauce and the bread isn't quite right. So like when
this
you
sounds like it might not be pizza technically.
Core ingredients wrong. Yeah, so I'm with you. If you use the right ingredients, like even if you make bad pizza, it's still okay pizza. But no, like if you're using the wrong ingredients, the things will still taste quite right. I've been to a few countries and things that should technically taste the same, because for example, you go to Subway, do not taste the same. I was in New Zealand and we got a Subway sandwich and I'm like, why does the bread taste different? And I'm sure it was healthier in New Zealand, don't get me wrong.
Oh, it is, because actually, fun fact, did you know that there was some country, and I should know which country it was, but there was some place where Subway technically, like, there was some lawsuit or something and they had to like technically advertise their bread as cake because there was so much sugar in it. And so I wonder, it could have been New Zealand. I don't know if they like changed the recipe or something so they didn't have to do that. But there was like something legal that was handed down that was like, call this bread.
Ireland.
Right, okay, nice.
Oh, I've been to Ireland too, and I did not get Subway from there. So I did not get to taste their cake, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I did go to New Zealand and it tastes a little different. And I was like, I expected when I got the sheep sub, don't get me wrong, the lamb sub that was good, like, because they had lamb sub because in New Zealand, I believe, and New Zealanders can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the number is like 8 to 1, like there's 8 sheep for every 1 person in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Or it's 3 to 1. I think it's 8 to 1. And there's 8 million New Zealanders, so, you know, 64 million.
That's a lot of sheep.
Or 24 million sheep, depending on whether I got my numbers right. Watch it be 4 to 1, and I got them both wrong. But either way, point is that there's more sheep than people, and... Yeah. So they serve lamb at Subway, and I knew the lamb was obviously, but like, because they don't serve that here in America, but the bread, I was like, the bread tastes different. It was fine. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. Just different.
Yeah. Don't ask for a refill on your drink, though. God forbid.
Did they charge you more, or they just get mad at you?
It's just, it's behind the counter and they act offended. And I'm like, it's just it's soda costs nothing. What is, like, all right.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And they're just like, oh, Americans.
Yeah.
Just drinking soda all the time. And
only thinking we're Middle Earth and nothing else.
Yes.
I mean, let's be fair, it's why we went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had to see the Lord of the Rings locations. All right. So Charlie wins reward, picks Liz. He also picks who? Kenzie,
We
see the Malcolm and Denise thing get brought up again because they're going to turn on each other. I have no emotional attachment to Charlie and Maria as a team, though. Do you?
You know, that's an interesting question. I guess I hadn't really thought about it. I think I see them as, like, it's been inevitable that they're going to have to face off. And, like, it is clear that they're really close, although I can't say that I, as an audience member, necessarily feel close to them as a pair.
Yeah.
But you can just see their chemistry. Like, you can see that they are close, and it is hard for them to, like, think about voting for each other. So I guess, but that is an interesting question. I guess I don't really feel that emotionally connected to them as a pair. So,
but when you watch Philippines and you see Malcolm and Denise go through all the crap they go through, and how they suffer together, how they're the last two of their tribe, and then they get split up and go to different tribes and have to survive that to reach the merge to then work together. It's like, okay, there's like been a story here, and there's like there's been a journey, and you know, there's a reason for me to want to root for these underdogs. Probably Maria have just kind of been in the driver's seat the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
With, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, Sega was targeted at the very beginning of the merge, but it wasn't Maria or Charlie who were targeted. It was Tim. You know, mm-hmm. nobody cared about Tim emotionally, Tim. Except for Ben. Yeah. Remember, Ben cared about Tim, but we don't care about Ben.
Yeah,
I mean, we do. Don't get me wrong, we care about Ben. Let me correct myself. I mean, is we don't.
Yeah, but just Ben in the sense of like, yeah, in the sense of like, is it like, oh, Ben's the winner? No. Like, does he seem like a joy to be around? Absolutely. But yeah, from like a story perspective on the show, we're not seeing like, oh, this is someone we should be really invested in. Like, oh, he might win this immunity or he might lose, or like, yeah, he's not that type of person.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. All right, so Maria is dying because she didn't get her letters from home. Again, I don't have any emotional attachment to Maria, so I don't care. I am glad for the 10 people who are going to comment that they care. I'm glad that you had an emotional moment with Maria. I didn't give two rips. I don't care that Maria is dying because Maria established herself from the very beginning as a hard-nosed player who is not here mm-hmm. to be the mom. So I'm not. So for the very beginning, they told us, don't emotionally care about Maria. She's here to play a game and she knows it. So okay, when they established that's how I've thought about her the whole time.
Yeah, that is interesting that you bring that up because I feel like they keep bringing her up as a mom. Like they do.
Yeah,
because like she had that connection with Tim, I think early on where they were like, oh, we have the parent alliance. And then, I don't like she's constantly referring to, I don't know, I just like Charlie is like, oh, you know, my son or like, yeah. I guess Uncle Charlie technically, but you know, yeah. So I don't know. I guess I feel like she is like portrayed as a really like mom character in a lot of ways. But to your point, like, yeah, I do think she's also being portrayed as like very tough and like non-emotional for the most part, like generally speaking.
So I don't have any emotional attachment to her because that's how the show set her up. And again, that's why I'm not emotionally attached to Charlie and Maria as a pair, because they established this from the beginning that Maria's hard nosed, she's here to play. And I don't have emotional attachment to Q either because how he plays. I think Q is hilarious, but I would not feel sad for Q that he left. But I like Q. So when I say emotional attachment, I mean like I feel bad that the person's going. I do not feel bad that Maria is going to go or whatever, is going to not going to win, and that she didn't get letters from home and they spent all that time on it. And it's like, I guess what they were really setting up is just the Maria versus Charlie showdown.
Yeah. And the fact that she won immunity to some extent, but yeah,
third immunity.
Yeah. And I mean, that was like really cool. I don't know though. It was like, I liked, she had some good quotes of like, okay, I can either let this break me or I can let it fuel me to win, you know, and I don't know. That was kind of cool. But
again, this episode they established at the beginning, Maria says, I'm the big target. And I'm paraphrasing again. If you don't get me out, you're dumb. So again, Maria is not here to win. Maria, I mean, for the story purposes, she's there to win, but she's not in the story to win. She's in the story to be a big target for whoever gets her off.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it seems like Charlie's going to be the leader on that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is why Charlie versus Kenzie is a huge debate, and you, me, and Mary are going to be doing it tomorrow, figuring out.
Yeah.
Okay, is it Charlie or is it Kenzie? And I'm glad we have a legit debate going into this thing. And it's not like, yeah, Jam Jam's going to win.
right.
Jesse's going to win, and then it's Gabler. Dee's going to win.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. Marianne's going to win. Yeah. I know you weren't there for the Marianne podcast, but yeah, we knew Marianne was winning going in the finale.
I'm still not over the Gabler win, I'm gonna be honest.
Gabler winning to me is funny and I like it. And for those because there's one guy's like, Gabler win, why don't you respect, I love the Gabler win. I love that he gave away the money. Like I'm pro Gabler.
I was just
surprised. So anyways, Kenzie and Charlie have their emotional backstories back to back. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now everyone in the final five has one, as we all know, as Survivor has established for some reason. You need one to win. So they held off as long as they could trying to throw us off. But this is one thing I knew was going to happen. Like this is one thing I knew that, all right, Charlie and Kenzie are making the finale and they're going to get sad backstories. When is it going to happen? And it's one of those things where because you're talking about the season, they're trying to throw us off with the winter, but like, if anything, the 90 minutes has even made it even more apparent than it was before.
Yeah.
They just have even more, I just have more evidence to pull.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did want to point out two things. First of all, Kenzie's sob story, I don't know, was it like a double sob story? Because we technically, we got one photo of her and her fiance, because she was talking about that they were supposed to get married like the day before this was filmed. And, you know, they ended up pushing back their wedding so that Kenzie could be on the show.
Yeah.
So she gets that. And then we cut back to her on the island. And then we go back to another photo where she talks about opening her salon, which also, side note, I forgot that she was a business owner. And she mentioned being a business owner. And I was like, wait, I thought that was Liz. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, right. Kenzie also owns a salon or something. No,
Liz owns like a country, dude. Come on now.
Yeah. But where I'm going with this is I think that, I don't know that Kenzie needs it, but Liz should give her some like business advice potentially, because clearly Liz is doing really well.
Now, I'm going to say this about 45 minutes into the podcast. So when you see comments about it, just know this the person who's commenting this did not listen to this far in the podcast. It's always a giveaway. Kenzie did get married after the season ended, and she is now pregnant. She posted pictures on Twitter or Instagram, wherever I saw them. So point being is that I'm aware of this. So now when the comments come in saying, did you know Kenzie's engaged or Kenzie's married and is pregnant? Everyone here can laugh along as we look at those, because it's every time. Every time somebody last week was like, hey, I forgot what it was. It was something we talked about for multiple weeks in a row. I'm like, yeah, we talked about it in the podcast you're listening to. And they're like, oh, I must have missed that. And I'm like, for 3 weeks now? But anyways, all right, I found the comment from last week. And this is not, I'm not saying the name. Something I realized, you know the four people we see at the beginning of the intro? Venus, Hunter, Tiff, and Tevin in that order? They all got voted out back to back. Not the order showed. Yes. Not in the order they showed, but all four of them got voted off post-merge with advantage in their pocket.
That's so funny.
Venus, Hunter, and Tiff with an idol and Tevin with extra vote. Food for thought. And I said, wow, if only we had brought this up in this week's podcast. I feel foolish for not doing so. We had brought it up in that podcast, and we brought up in the previous two or three at least. They said, well, I don't mind if you mention next podcast. Ha ha. That's what I'm doing now. I think it would be interesting to talk about and hear your opinion on it. They're hearing about it now.
Yeah.
I said, I am being sarcastic. We talked about it this week and last week. So they wanted me to bring it up this week.
Yeah.
You're welcome. What can
Here
I say?
We are.
You're welcome.
No, okay. This actually does bring up a question, though, because Q was also voted out with an advantage in his pocket.
Yeah.
So is where I don't know where he falls in with that.
He wasn't in the slow motion. But what I will say is that the person pointing out that Kenzie has a gold logo after, like, there are, so we have some like really like oblivious comments like that. And then we have some really brilliant comments who point us in the right direction. I mean, some of you guys have had incredible theories in the comments. Like, I remember that one time we talked about the 3-2-1, what was it? Yeah, 3-1-2 theory, like that one week. And like, I'm like, hey, you were so, like, you were super close. And I hadn't even thought about that. It was really good. And then somebody pointed out the gold logo after Kenzie. And I showed it to Mary. And she's like, holy cow, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but it's not as obvious as, like, the D thing, you know? If that is the case. It's also the gold logo is right before Liz, as other people pointed out. And I'm like, that's a good point.
Ooh.
Maybe it has a double meaning. Or we're foolish enough to not think Liz is the winner.
Dude, if Liz is the winner, that's going to be so crazy.
Yeah. So I joke about the dumb comments, like I do, but there's also a bunch of like really brilliant comments. So the brilliant comments usually outweigh the like, come on, did you even listen to the video you're commenting on?
We
couldn't have talked about it more if we wanted to. Anyway, so brother.
Yeah. To be fair, sometimes for me when I'm listening to podcasts, sometimes I'll listen to them on like 1.5 or 2 times speed while I'm working or like doing other things. And so I don't know. I do miss like, I might miss a few minutes here and there or whatever. So maybe that's what happened. But yeah.
How dare you empathize, Rebecca?
Listen, I'm not saying that they should have commented without listening to the whole episode very thoroughly.
Q and Maria go and look for the idol. Q finds it and he tells Maria. An instant gut reaction from everybody, I'm sure, was, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? I mean, thankfully, that didn't bite him in the butt. She was on board with them. And he's like, you have to tell somebody. And I'm like, no, you don't. Literally do not need to tell anybody. It is not a requirement in the handbook. There's nothing in the rule book says you have to tell anybody about your idol, except for production. Production needs to know, I assume.
And also, like, I don't know. It is interesting that he told Maria, because, like, I get it. You know, she's his number one, even though he's not her number one. But I'm almost like, okay, if you're in Q's shoes at this point in the game and you know that, like, you have a lot of enemies, like, first of all, you have to play the idol as soon as you have it. Like, that's dumb to not play it. But second of all, I don't know if there is a move that you could make to, like, gain trust with someone else. But, like, I don't know, if he had shown the idol to Kenzie, like, that would have at least maybe stirred things up tonight, because, you know, maybe Kenzie would have been like, oh no, Q has an idol, he's going to play it, who do we vote for? Because Maria and Q are both safe. And then that could have, like, stirred something up. And I know Q didn't know that he was being targeted, but, like, from his perspective, if you only have one ally at this point in the game, like, that's fine, but I don't know. It's always good to, like, try and get more allies. And I don't know, just having one is, like, really tough when everyone else is kind of against you, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it could have, it's not, like, I understand why he told Maria, but I feel like if he had told someone else, it could have maybe worked out better for him. So, I don't
those know. Listening to this, play your idol and don't tell anyone about it. Don't get your Christmas canceled because you didn't play your idol. Just play the idol and keep Christmas going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, was that the conclusion of the whole Q skirt thing, was that the idol was in his Q skirt when he got voted out?
When Q comes back for Survivor 50, you know he's wearing the Q skirt.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. So this is not a conclusion. This is a to be continued.
Because I will say, before they went to tribal, what I thought was going to happen was that he was going to accidentally leave his Q skirt at camp.
Never.
And then someone else was going to find it tomorrow.
Never leave a Q skirt at camp.
Right. But then he had it at tribal, didn't play the idol. Huge mistake.
Big mistake.
And the idol was in his Q skirt, I guess.
It's
funny
to me that Q canceled his own Christmas and made a big mistake in the process. That's funny.
Yeah, really funny.
Q's great. He needs to come back. So we have the immunity challenge, Rebecca. What was that all about?
Yes. So this was a water challenge. So there were a couple different stages. First, you had to swim out and then climb to the top of a tall tower. My goodness, I can't speak.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then jump off the tower into the water. And then there were some water obstacles that people had to go through. So, like, walking across a rope and then a balance beam, which always, like, I don't know. I feel like doing a balance beam in the water is deceptively hard, because I think one of my toxic traits is I watch people do this and I'm like, that's not that hard. I could do it in, like, one or two tries. But I'm sure it's actually really hard with, like, the water moving and stuff.
I just checked Hunter's Instagram because he's been posting the clown memes. You gotta check it out. It's in his stories for those who are wondering. I mean, it should be there if you're listening to us the day we release it on Patreon and YouTube. He posts a picture of, I think it was him, or originally it was him and Tiffany looking like clowns, not playing their idols. And then he added Venus last week. Then this week he added Q, and he showed an updated clue for the Hidden Mew idols. Says, congratulations, you found a one-way ticket to Ponderosa. Bring this to Jeff after he snuffs your torch. It comes with a complimentary clown nose and a case of PTSD.
That's amazing.
So, anyways, that's pretty funny.
That's so good.
Yeah. So anyways, really this good. Challenge, the dolphin puzzle to me was, it seemed like once, it seems cool, but it does seem like the moment you get you start connecting the dolphin, I mean, Ben proved, I guess, the opposite. When we get the dolphin going, it seems like it should just be a one-way ticket. Like, it should be really easy to get the dolphin done.
Yeah, I think the hardest part was, like, there were some, like, waves at the bottom that looked a little tricky. But yeah, I mean, Ben got that together really quick. I think, honestly, like, Ben is just so exhausted and, like, kind of out of it. Like, I think that was more what, I mean, he seemed like he was in it for the beginning, like you said. But yeah, I think that's kind of what got him in the end. Because yeah, as soon as Maria, like, started getting the dolphin, like, put together, it was game over.
They should not do this puzzle again unless they're going to add waves all the way around the dolphin or something like that, because the dolphin, to me, is like a dead giveaway on how the puzzle, like, when the moment you get the dolphin going, it's easy, it seems like.
Yeah. Or maybe, like, change the pattern on the dolphin a little bit, because there were just, like, those, I think, like, three big lines that were kind of obvious.
Yeah, it was like the dolphin stands out so much, and, like, the dolphin can only be one shape, so you're not, like, I don't know. Just seemed kind of, the dolphin part was easy. I'm not complaining. I like that there's a new puzzle. I'm saying that if they do it again, because they tend to repeat puzzles, to maybe add something to up the difficulty of the dolphin portion, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Make the pieces smaller or something. I don't know. Sorry, Maria wins immunity number 3. Kenzie says not getting out Maria is frustrating, but she's ready for King Q to go. Q says Charlie needs to go. And I got to be frank with you. I stopped taking notes because I already knew Q was going. I knew Q was going. I'm like, he's not going to play the idol because he thinks he's making Final Four. So I will say the most impressive thing to me was when Kenzie and Liz tricked Maria.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Yeah, especially with Liz. I was very impressed. I don't know. I guess the way the show has been portraying things is like so much of like Kenzie and Charlie are kind of like the two to watch. And like, Liz. I feel like Liz and Kenzie are a lot closer than I realized. And that became like more evident tonight just in, they were just like so in sync with each other and like just tricking Maria. It was very impressive.
Liz is not stupid. She was willing to vote off Maria tonight. No. She was an option over Q.
Yep.
Yeah. Everyone knows Q's a goat. I'm actually surprised we even wasted time on Q, to be fair. But I get the idea is that he's a number for Maria and you're trying to get Maria off. And unlike in Winners of War, it's like, let's weaken Rob by getting out his allies, even though Rob's available to be voted off. In this case, let's weaken Maria by getting our allies because she's not available to be voted off.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been times past like, let's weaken this person by getting rid of their ally, even though you can vote off them if you wanted to.
Right.
In this case, at least it made sense because the person was not available. Mm-hmm. And so I get why they voted off Q. If Q was by himself, lone wolf, I would have left Q in the game. He's a goat.
Yeah.
He's a goat. But because he is a number 4 Maria, then yeah, I get it. You're trying to get out Maria. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. And it is interesting because like, I do think Charlie is a bigger threat in the game, but I really don't know how much people besides Maria are really seeing that. And even Kenzie, I mean, Kenzie is like, you know, one of our front runners for like a potential winner, but she's so under the radar right now that it is like, yeah, I don't know. There's just so much attention. There's so much attention on Maria that it's like, oh yeah, okay, well we have to go for Q to weaken Maria, when in reality, like, Maria is not really a threat to win right now, but that's just from our perspective, like watching the edit, of course.
If
but,
Charlie doesn't make Final 3 for some reason and Maria also doesn't make Final 3, like it literally is Kenzie, Q, Liz. I'm sorry, Kenzie, Liz, Ben. Yep. Which, by the way, would be so boring to watch the Final 3 because we already knew who was going to win. I think Kenzie clean sweeps the jury and this one vote from Ben throws off a perfect game, which is wild.
Ooh, that would be crazy.
It brought it up today in the episode with her being like, God. And Ben's like, and the way it was said, it's like, is this going to be her only vote?
Oh, man, that would suck so much. Ben would feel so bad if that does happen.
Because Earl in season 14 Fiji had a perfect game, except Rita voted for him for a nonsensical reason in like episode 3 or 4, something like that. And it's like, he was one vote shy of a perfect game. Oof. And it's like, you can't knock Earl for that. She wasn't even trying to target Earl. She was just literally throwing a vote. She needed to throw a vote on somebody. She threw it on Earl, not because she wanted Earl out or anything like that. It wasn't even like purposeful. So it's like Earl.
Oh, man.
It's like there's two perfect winners and there's a little asterisk. It's like, yeah, but Earl, you know, like technically not, like on paper not, but like Earl. Like, so it's like, are we about to get another asterisk? Like, I hope not. As I said, I hope Charlie and Kenzie are at the end together. But
I will say if Liz is at the end, I would love that Liz. Because I want to see her absolutely lose it on Q again. And actually just the whole jury. I would love to see her just like go off in a final tribal. I think that would be really, really entertaining.
I starve for 26 days. I deserve the $1 million. No, I don't think she would do that.
I'm used to sleeping on a bed of gold bars and I had to come out here and sleep on the soft sand and the soft bamboo.
My back has been hurting.
And it was bad for my back. Yeah.
My back only feels good when I'm laying on the gold bars at my house. All right. Oh, what's new on Patreon? Podcasts are early and ad free. Link in the description. I have multiple Boston Rob stories on Patreon right now. 3 of them for Heroes vs. Villains, Redemption Island, and Island of the Idols. The Rise and Fall of Rupert is 2 hours that it covers every Survivor season, Amazing Race, Run for Governor, Survivor Israel, the whole 9 yards. The South Pacific vote for the 5-story videos from that season will start on Monday. And a couple other videos that are on there now or will be on there in the next few days. How to fix Survivor. You guys gave me your opinions. We updated that. There's a new version of that on Patreon. in the next few days. Unpopular opinions about Survivor, that is on there right now. And the most villainous Amazing Race teams as well. Rebecca, this topic was so taboo. I did not realize it was the most villainous Amazing Race teams. I asked on Reddit, on the Amazing Race Reddit, for people's opinions. And I did it on YouTube, of course. And on Reddit, after it got 80 replies, they banned the top. They banned the thread.
Yeah, I do feel like that is. Yeah, I don't know if Reddit is ever not a toxic place. You know what I mean? Like it kind of doesn't matter what the question is.
There's no suggestion on there's nothing like here's why. Like I even checked the rules of the subreddit. I'm like, there's nothing saying I can't ask what teams people don't like on the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing. There's it wasn't even like a be only. There was nothing that said be only positive with your question. Like nothing like that. So
yeah.
I was like, and then they didn't even send me a message and like tell me why, or they didn't leave a comment. Nothing. And I'm like, eh. Thankfully, I have a platform I could just ask people on YouTube because I'm like, right. Why? But I still looked at the 80 responses that are there because they're not disappeared. Just my question's been deleted with no reason why. So it's a very sensitive topic, I guess. So I made a video about it. You're welcome.
There you go.
All right. Well, link in the description for Patreon. If it sounds like I just named off a ton of things, it's because I did. All right. Question of the week, Rebecca. I know I've already beat you, but...
Well... Yes. Well, that is. Well, yeah. Well, no, that's correct. Yeah. There's. I can't argue with that.
So let's say I won the season, but let's do.
Sure.
Well, this week is not the finale. Let's say. Let's put it this way, Rebecca. Next week, I want you to pull out a question so hard, and it has to be something you found Survivor Wiki, by the way, not like a random website.
Oh,
this is the rule. Okay. Next week is for the championship.
Okay.
Okay. Next week is championship. You pull out the hardest question you can. No hints, no multiple choice.
No hints. Okay.
No hints, no multiple choice on me and see if I can answer it. And I will pull out the hardest question I can and I will give you multiple choice because I know it's not a fair fight if I don't.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, if you don't want me to give you multiple choice, I won't, but I will give you multiple choice.
Without even knowing the question, I would love multiple choice. Well, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the only, it's just not fair if I don't because I could pull something really.
Right.
I could just ask you something simple, like who's the third boot of Survivor Caramel?
Oh,
and
sure.
You'd be like, yeah, yeah, exactly. So
right.
That wouldn't even be that hard of a question for some people. But yeah. So anyways, will be the championship next week. We'll see who knows the most obscure knowledge. But this week, I guess it's just for fun because.
Yeah.
All right. You go first.
Okay. Because I do have a random question this week.
All right.
So I like to, and yeah, this is some backstory on this question. I like to bring a little bit of like the outside pop culture world into the Survivor podcast. So as we know, I'm a Taylor Swift fan.
Ugh.
I love me some Gilmore Girls. And I was watching Gilmore Girls the other day and I saw a familiar face. And so I'm curious if you know which memorable Survivor player had a 4-episode arc on Gilmore Girls. It was in season 3. It aired in 2002. I don't know if any of this information is helpful for you. You know this? Oh my goodness. Incredible. Do you watch Gilmore Girls?
No.
Oh my goodness. You just know this?
I follow Sugar on Twitter and she's posted about it.
And
on Instagram.
Okay.
See, this is why I say pull from the Survivor Wiki and go hard because you thought that was hard.
I did. I was just pulling from the wild. But all right. There you go. Yeah. It was very weird to see her, though, because it was like, I think 5 or 6 years before she was on Survivor for the first time.
It was definitely
what?
It was definitely before. She's also been on some other stuff. And I think it was all before Gabon. So,
yeah, for the most part, it was. She's done like some smaller stuff since then, I think. But I think the last like credit on her IMDb, because I looked it up for this, was I think it was like in like 2016 or something like that. So I don't know what she's up to these days, but. Yeah.
Question, was she a good actress on Gilmore Girls?
I think she did a good job with the character, but I didn't like the way the character was written because she was just kind of there to like service the plot more than anything else.
Right.
You know what
she
I
wasn't
mean?
Like an important character, I see.
Right. But I think she did a good job with what she was given.
Okay. Well, I looked it up, her filmography. She hasn't done any acting since 2012. Now, she was in the game L.A. Noir, and I recognized her immediately as somebody that you question as the investigator on a case. And I recognized, I hadn't even seen Sugar And I was playing L.A. Yeah. Noir. I mean, I didn't know she was in the game. And I was playing L.A. Noir. I'm like, is that freaking Sugar? So anyways.
Amazing.
All right. Your question is, which season was the first to not have any tribe win back-to-back challenges?
Ooh.
The first ever season to have.
First
no,
ever.
No
okay.
tribe in the pre-merge, neither tribe or neither of the three tribes. Mm-hmm. I am not going to tell you. Won any challenge back-to-back. It was always a flip-flop between the two. Challenges.
Yes. Okay.
Reward immunity, nothing was back to back. So, anyways, your options are A, season 19 Samoa, B, mm-hmm. season 23 South Pacific, C, season 38 Edge of Extinction, or D, Survivor 44.
This is a good question. And I honestly don't know. So, I'm just going to guess season 23.
That is correct.
Yes, let's go. This is why I need multiple choice. I had a 25% chance.
Well, I had some logic as to why I put the other ones that weren't South Pacific. Samoa, okay. I figured if you were to talk it through, you might, I don't know, it depends on your knowledge of these seasons. Samoa infamously had Russell's tribe tank the pre-merge because he kept burning their socks and stuff. So they kept losing stuff because he was sabotaging them. Season 38... infamously had the Rick Devons, Chris Underwood tribe lose over and over again, and they kept having to vote. They had to vote off those people who came back later, but like they kept losing over and over again. And then Survivor 44 had the Jam Jam Tika 3, and I'm 99% sure they lost back-to-back challenges because they came into the merge with 23 people.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised that they didn't lose back-to-back. So yeah. I wasn't sure if that one was, I was like, there's three seasons where if
and
you
honestly,
thought about
like,
it.
Yeah, I was debating between 19 and 23. That was a good question. I think some of the later ones, it was just like so recent that I was like,
sure,
there had to have been one before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the key. It's the first one and it's not the only one as far as I know. I think it's just the first one. So, all right, let's move on to TV ratings. So, Rebecca, you'll be shocked to hear that Survivor lost to the Chicago trilogy and viewers again.
Oh,
what?
Oh, no. Because they're not doing reruns anymore?
Yeah, no, they didn't do any reruns last week. Survivor won the 18 to 49 demographic for advertisers, which is what's important for money. But the viewership-wise did not beat the Chicago trilogy of shows. Images on screen for those wondering what we're talking about in case it's your first time. Also, welcome to the podcast, 12 episodes in the season. I thank you for being here. Apparently... Yeah, Chicago, unstoppable trilogy. Cannot beat them. But we already know Survivor, as we say every week, has been renewed through season 50 in Fiji. I assume in the same exact location of Fiji. So I'm hoping, Rebecca, that with 50, we start with themes again. Themes get started back up.
Oh,
and with 51, it could be the dawn of a, not a new era, but of a whatever the new location is era.
Ooh,
let's get the dawn of the... Vanuatu era. I'm just throwing out a place.
Yeah.
A new place we've never been to. The dawn of the Cook Island. Let's go to, let's sign a new contract after 50. That's all I'm saying. 50 should be the end of Fiji. 17 seasons. What a good run in Fiji. Let's go anywhere else.
Has it been 17 or I guess it will have been 17?
They should go to the Australian Outback. Like seriously, Australian Survivor filmed in the Australian Outback and not in the same location Survivor did for season two. And it was beautiful and also very different. Now, I don't think it would be fit the tone of the island that Survivor likes to sell itself as, the island location. So they probably wouldn't do that. But I'm just saying there are places out there, clearly. Australian Survivor figured out during COVID just to film in their own country. And like, to be fair, their country had a very, have you been in the middle of their country? You die.
Right.
Literally die in the middle of Australia. The U.S. does not have a place where you just die if you just are there. I mean, maybe Nevada.
Well,
maybe.
There's a lot of jokes that could be made there, but I will restrain myself.
If you're, you know, certain cities, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for TV ratings. Survivor, unfortunately, did not have great. I mean, all the views have been pretty consistent across the board. Week's episode still episode two, but you guys can see on screen the ratings. It's doing just fine. The most important thing is the 18 to 49 demo. That's what's going to keep getting it renewed.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think we'll see like a peak in season 50, especially because, they're talking about like bringing back returnees. Like, do you think more people will tune in who haven't been watching for a while?
I think Winners at War got a little bit of a boost. It was really when COVID hit and people were stuck at home that it got a really big boost. So I don't know. What's important is the streaming numbers, I'm sure, too. Like how many streams is, which we don't know. unfortunately. We only know live viewership. All I will, what I will say is, though, Deal or No Deal Island just gave away $1.3 million to their winner, which I will not spoil. Huh. And that show got renewed on the back of 3 million people watching it. So Survivor has 1.8 more, 1.7. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. All right. Well, let's move on to y'all's questions. We're going to do winner analysis tomorrow with Rebecca, myself, and Mary. We're going to rank the remaining five people. We're going to debate over Charlie versus Kenzie, obviously. And we're going to rank the all the new era seasons. So
it's quite the crossover episode, to be honest, like all three of us and so much like ranking and different things. I feel like we haven't seen a crossover like this since Infinity War.
Since like episode several when you, me and Mary were on the same podcast together.
No, but we weren't ranking the seasons episode.
No, you're right. We haven't ranked seasons since 45.
This one's going to be totally different.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It'll be like a podcast you've never heard us do before during 46 or during the Traders or during 44.
Okay, right. Anyways,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We definitely have never done this before. All right. Drew asks, Kenzie and Charlie's edits are reminding them of Dom and Wendell. Are we going to see another final tribal tie? We could. There's eight jurors. We could.
Wait, what if, okay.
Oh,
what
if Ben would pick Charlie?
Yes.
What if Ben Ben would pick Kenzie because of their relationship.
But he has to pick Kenzie
because
he voted for her.
That would be devastating.
He votes for her twice. I'm actually super on board with that.
That would be wild. Like, he makes up for his vote on Kenzie by dang, Drew, that's a great ending.
That would be crazy if that happened.
If the show is scripted, they would have scripted that. Well, yeah, the show is scripted, 100%. We'd have a good final three. We wouldn't have any goats in it. So,
yeah.
But that's a good point. Like, man, if they get tied in the end, and then Ben had to pick between Charlie and Kenzie, and picks Kenzie.
That would be so crazy, and that would make so much sense with all the like
how
you said,
tight the vote is,
yeah,
and everything, or how
Kenzie
tight
and,
everything seems. Yeah.
Yeah, like Kenzie and Ben, their relationship.
That would be crazy, dude. Man. All right. Next question is from AJEGL. Four people voted out in a row with an idol and five total for the season. Should they make a Ghost Island 2 based off of just this season alone?
Yeah. Yeah, they almost could.
They
I don't
really
know.
Could.
I'm going to be really curious to see how this affects future seasons. Because, like, yeah, I'm sure at this point, like, people who have watched this, I feel like they're going to be more inclined to play their idol in the future, I hope. So, yeah, I hope we don't get anything like this again in the future.
When they did Ghost Island, they had to drag Eric through the mud again for giving his necklace to Natalie, right? And then I know during the Winners at War pre-season special, I forgot what it was called, but there was a there was an episode they did right before the season, the week before the season, and it's probably on Paramount Plus, where you can watch it and they kind of recap like the greatness of Survivor over the past 39 seasons, kind of ignoring season 39, I might add. And during that during that preseason special to 40, they drag Eric's name through the mud again, of course, about how he gave immunity to Natalie. But like, that does that technically count as an episode? I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. Well, when I was watching, because we brought up Ghost Island, so I was thinking about it. When I was watching, when I was working on Rob's Island of the Idol story, I did not realize, just randomly while teaching new players a lesson, Rob drags Eric's name through the mud again. Like, the poor boy cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
Just, I'm giving individual immunity to Natalie. Like, the show, like, thankfully, the new era has not brought it up.
That is, you're right. They used to just, like, bring that up all the time. Just, and I mean,
and it'd like, been 23 seasons at that point, Rebecca, and we're still dragging his name.
Like, and the thing is, other people have made pretty dumb mistakes too. Like James got voted out with two idols in his pocket. That was a thing for a little while.
It's the sound clip of I'm giving him individual immunity to Natalie.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I think it's
Sierra voted out her own mom.
Oh, I wish that would, now that would be funny to bring up randomly all the time instead of Eric.
Yes.
I think
just randomly. Sierra's not in the season. No one's parent is in the season at all, but Jeff just keeps bringing it up. They're like, whose mom are you talking about?
That's
what
one
do you
theme
mean?
They need to bring back is blood versus water. And it has to be a returnee.
Agreed.
It cannot be all newbies. Mm-hmm. The all newbie version to me was not as good. It has to be returnees.
I agree.
Yes. And we need, I don't know. Do we keep them on separate tribes again or do we actually let them be on the same tribe? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you could get more hurt feelings putting them on the same tribe right off the bat. But then again, I get how like easily people will just align with each other and then you get large groups really fast. Mm-hmm. Like three people on a line with each other, it's actually six, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I get why they split them up.
Yeah. And also like you have more couples on smaller tribes initially. So like,
oh, because Robert would have to do three tribes.
Well, I mean, even if they did two tribes, like
that's how they used to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of power.
Jeff and I have brought up how they used to do more days too. He briefly threw that one in there. Mm. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that was back. We were doing 39 days as if there was more challenges during 39 days? There was the same number of immunity challenges, I guess, Jeff.
More rest between challenges, but
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
But on the flip side, food,
on the flip side, you're starving more and suffering more in 39 days. So it's not really.
Yeah. You
know. Anyways. All right. Next question is from Mike Glasses. Hugh talking about the Applebee's sampler in the end credits interview is hilarious to me. I don't know how much a sponsorship costs, but they sure got their money's worth for Applebee's did.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Does it matter? Because they're still shutting down so many. It's because they spent so much on the sponsorship, I bet.
Liz does not come cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that Applebee's has transcended being a sponsor. It has now become a part of Survivor lore. It's not just a sponsor. Like Sears has been a sponsor of some challenges, but nobody sits here and talks about Sears. Applebee's has transcended being a sponsor and is now part of Survivor lore. Yeah. Applebee's is now synonymous with players.
It's passed into like meme territory and lore, like you're saying. So yeah, it's on a different tier.
Yeah. Applebee's is the best sponsor ever. And all they did was just show up with food. Like they didn't actually do anything different than anybody else. They just right time, right location, right. You know, like at a place where we're desperate for sponsors because it used to be all the time we had them. Therefore, it wasn't that as crazy. But it's kind of like, you know, when Jack and Jill was on the show and everybody didn't realize when it was on the show that it was a terrible movie. And then everybody watched it later and they're like, oh, wow, this movie sucks, which makes that that part of the Survivor even funnier to me because they're hyping it up.
Yes.
But in terms of Applebee's, I think Applebee's pretty good. You know, I'm okay with Applebee's.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But there are people who do not like Applebee's.
Ooh.
I know.
Hot take.
Silent Storm 45-4 says, did Liz pay the contestants to not play their idols? It's the only logical explanation.
Yeah. See, I would get on board with that theory, but if that was the case, why wouldn't she pay them to give her their idols?
See,
so
but
she
that's
just has
too
like
obvious.
A stockpile of.
That's too obvious.
It is obvious.
And it wouldn't be a stockpile, it'd just be one idol.
That's true. That's true. And then Liz goes and hides it every night, and then someone else finds it.
Liz, put it on the walking path. Walking path.
They're
waist
like, this was
height.
Just uncovered in the middle of the path. Like, what is this?
Dude, if I ever go on, if people ask if I've applied. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try. I try not to promote it because there's a lot of questions. But anyways, I have applied. If I ever got on the show for whatever reason, how did I end up here is a big mistake, as they would say.
How I cancel Christmas.
Here. Cancel Christmas is a big mistake. You shouldn't have put me on here. And I mean that from me giving my opinion, though they would just edit all my opinions out.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Cancel
you're on
Christmas.
The island saying this. They're like, stop.
Jeff's
we're
like,
not,
the rewards
here.
At the sanctuary. And I roll my eyes. I'm like, oh boy, I can't wait for the sanctuary. Jeff's like, you get letters from loved ones. I'm like, yeah, but we're leaving in 3 days. Who cares? I can't really.
Honestly, oh man,
and
if you just
like Wesley, do you have a problem with me?
You're just like constantly starting beef with Jeff. That's so funny.
I have nothing against Jeff. I think Jeff, while of course flawed, what human isn't, is a great host and his executive producer stuff, you know, hit and miss. But after 46 seasons, who isn't hit or miss? I have actually nothing against Jeff. I just know that I would have strong opinions about, like, are we really doing the same thing? Oh boy, another journey. I wonder if there will be an advantage at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my issue is not with Jeff. My issue is just with the creative decisions made by the show. It's more than just Jeff. Jeff's just the face of it. That show ends, it says executive producer Mark Burnett, executive producer Charlie Parsons, executive producer Jeff Probst. He's the third. He's not the first. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I know Mark isn't probably super active. I know he was super active, but he's no longer, I'm sure. I do not know for sure. What I'm saying is that there's other names than just Jeff in the end credits. You know what I mean? It's not Jeff.
Right.
Jeff filmed it. Jeff edited it. Jeff made all the decisions. Yeah.
It's not the Jeff show. Yeah.
All right. So next question from Dylan. Who received a larger boost in their winner equity, Charlie or Kenzie?
See, that's really a great question. And we'll probably get into this more tomorrow, I'd imagine. But yeah. I think that there was so much focus on Charlie tonight and last week that it would appear that Charlie got the biggest boost. But I will also say I don't know that it's good that he's getting so much attention right now. So, like, even though technically, like, Kenzie has been relatively quiet the last couple episodes, I almost might lean towards that's actually better for her at this point. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And if I'm counting this correctly, this is our several question. The best Quintavious, they named their account after Q. The best Quintavious, after this episode, does Maria seem like a serious contender?
To win?
Yeah.
I
don't think so.
I don't think so because of the edit. Like, if you were on the island with her, maybe, but like, because of the edit, I think Charlie's gonna come out on top.
Oh, on the island, and for also, sure. I would think that, yeah, Maria's a big target. Yeah.
Well, and I guess technically, even after tonight, like, she voted for her number one ally and her number two got voted out. So,
yeah.
She is in kind of a rough spot right now.
Maria is 1000% a big target if I'm on the island. They're not watching the edited show. Come on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Charlie's like, let me watch the dailies real quick.
Yeah. Maria said what about me?
Roll that back to me again. I want to watch that. Yeah. Turn up the volume. Yeah. Let me get the...
Actually, you know what? Charlie can't afford that, but I bet that's what Liz does at the end of every day.
Oh, that's how she hasn't been voted off. And the only way to get her off is that fire, because that's the only time it doesn't matter whether, you know.
Oh, man.
But as we already determined, Liz would have paid them to cover her stuff in kerosene, not gasoline, kerosene.
Oh. Well,
kerosene. I mean, kerosene.
Gasoline works too in a pinch.
Liz cannot risk being exploded on camera.
You think she's the one? Well, I mean, I think that she also, like, has someone else do the fire.
She has
her.
A body double.
Yes, correct.
Do her
so
fire.
The whole fire making challenge is just an over the shoulder shot of her. You can't see her face.
Like that shot we got of the them doing the ball puzzle thing where they're guy in the ball. It's like the overhead shot.
Yes.
You just get that of Liz making fire. That's the only angle they show. And everybody in the jury just like has to keep a straight face that they didn't just pull a body double. With a gasoline covered set of sticks and everything. Yeah.
But also every time we cut to the jury, you can just see like gold bars like peeking out of their pockets.
Every time you cut to the jury, like they have to cut around the fact that actually Liz is sitting over there with them too. Yes. And they're like, why is every shot of the jury a close up? Is that Liz's hair in the background?
Oh, man. Yeah. That's so funny.
All right. Well, I remember one time I edited, sort of in the podcast. This is okay. One time I edited a video and it was about, I believe it was about Final Tribal or something like that. And I was covering the I was covering the season 30 Final Tribal and I was showing Dan Foley's question. And I did not realize it because I'm like, to edit every video I do, I have to edit the content so that it's fair use. And also YouTube doesn't flag it and everything else. So it has to be fair use. So I have to do a lot of editing to make sure it passes. And it's actually like not just me uploading the show, you know?
Right.
So anyways, point being is, so when somebody does a jury question, their mouth is not moving on camera anytime somebody's mouth is not moving on camera, I just show my own version of B-roll because if I show the survivor's B-roll, I'm going to get copyrighted because I did not change the show at all. So I show my own different shots from the show to make it pass or whatever. My point being is that when Dan Foley's asking his question to Mike, I cut over to the jury and Dan Foley's sitting on the jury because I pulled from a different part of the Final Tribal, not paying attention to the fact that Dan Foley isn't watching himself ask a question to Mike.
That's funny.
And somebody's like, did Survivor leave this in the show? And I'm like, it's funny that people think that was them and not me. It was me. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So anyways, ever since then, I've been more cautious about the jury shots because I can only imagine, you know, like they choose the jury shots in the show purposefully, you know, to elicit a reaction.
Yeah.
You know, make you know what the jury's thinking. Tonight, man, Venus is just looking all around constantly and everybody else is just like straight faced.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's not super surprising. I figured Venus was going to bring some attitude to the jury.
It was like Venus was looking for other people to have open reactions and everybody was not having it.
Yeah. She's going to be, I think, really vocal during Final Tribal, and I'm looking forward to that.
I miss the one-on-one questions.
Yeah,
Venus would have had, Venus would have had a good one.
Yeah.
Question number one, why do you all hate me?
She's like, if I could vote for none of you, I would.
Yeah.
You all have to convince me.
Like when Randy
comes in super hot.
Randy voted at in Gabon. He's like, every single one of you can kiss my, and then it just cuts and everybody's laughing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's all we have for this podcast. As we mentioned before, tomorrow, winner analysis, me, Mary, and Rebecca will rank the top five and rank the new era seasons. All right. Well, we thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week for the finale. And tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.